Dope FM.
All right, everybody, this is Chase March. We have a very special guest today, Taku, all the way from Perth, Australia. How's it going, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Definitely nice to get in touch with you. I'm sure a lot of people know who you are, but if not, can you just give us a little description of who you are and where you're coming from?
Yeah, for sure. So my name's Taku from Perth, Australia, born and raised. I've been making beats for about 5 to 7 years now. I guess, yeah, just slowly chipping away. First started making hip-hop production, and then with the whole beat scene happening now, I kind of branched out into some future electronic stuff as well. Featuring on a few compilations, releases around the world, work with many artists, vocalists, but just concentrating on my instrumental work now and representing a few labels at the moment. HWW out in LA, Project Moon Circle out in Germany, Soul Action out in San Diego, and Paper Chain in Perth. So yeah, it's a good year.
Yeah, so that's amazing. So you're doing production for 4 different labels right now then?
Yeah, so the labels have been pretty good because each label's kind of different in regards to what kind of music they want from me. So it's gives me a good chance to experiment and be creative.
You've been producing for about 5 years now. What made you get into production?
Tell you the truth, I first started DJing. Well, I say DJing, but I guess I was trying to DJ. And then mainly collecting records, you know, made me, you know, listen to more samples and then listening to, you know, people like Dilla and Pete Rock and Primo made me just want to, you know, have a go at trying to sample a record. And since I started that, it really just, yeah, evolved from that. Yeah. Trying to be a DJ, I guess, is how I started.
That's cool. It's really cool to see people actually becoming more DJs and getting on the production. It seems like it's more of a big, I guess, an arena than it was in the past. Everyone wanted to seem to be a rapper back when I was coming up and trying to make a name for myself. Yeah. Now it seems like there's a lot of DJs and producers out there.
Yeah, I guess being a DJ, everyone thinks it's easy because, you know, when you're DJing or when you see a DJ at a club, they're not really doing too much. I was more into the turntable stuff. That stuff is really hard. I think beat making is a lot easier than being a turntable.
Yeah, I think so too. I used to actually make beats a long time ago on like an AK. What did I have? An ASR. I had a big sampling keyboard.
Oh, you had the ASR.
I know some people don't like to give away their secrets, but would you mind sharing what kind of gear you're using?
Yeah, so the gear I'm using is pretty minimal. I'm still using software like Fruity Loops and Cool Letter Pro to cut samples, but when it gets to the synth work, I guess a lot of soft synths and VSTs. I got a MicroKorg that I use quite extensively, but apart from that, it's pretty much what my setup is, and it works for me. You know, it's simple, but it's effective.
Yeah, that's cool. I think you don't necessarily have to have, you know, this piece of gear or this piece of gear, as long as you can make it work. And that's the musicianship, being able to make whatever you have sing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's guys out there that you have great technical capabilities and know how to use like amazing equipment. And that's just as effective as someone that, you know, cuts a record up and chucks it into a sequencer. So no matter what you use, whether it's simple or whether it's quite technical, it's what you really do with what you have. That's the end product that really makes it shine, I guess.
Definitely agree with that. So you're going to spin for a little while for us right now. Give us some of your dope beats.
Yeah, no doubt.
Excellent. All right, so you get on the wheels there and on your production tip there. And everyone listen to this. We'll definitely be back to talk with more at Taku right after he throws down about 45 minutes of tunes for you. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back. Run away, but they are here to stay. They wanna wake up right. You can't feel so alone, chasing an empty throne. You know your head will never love you.
Right back up in your mother.
Pain gets too high, a place before time. You can feel weightless, your skin is so tasteless. No one can find your brand new disguise. No one will know that, no one can know. You're gonna say goodbye. La da da da. La da 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 da. No one can know. You're gonna say goodbye. La da da da. La da 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 da. Now you can go.
Thank you. We'll be right back. me up some. Let's go. We'll be right back.
Alright, you just heard an exclusive mix set from Taku, excellent producer, beatsmith, all the way from Perth, Australia, and we're lucky enough to have him on the phone lines. How's it going, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
I know a lot of the stuff from Australia, for some reason, doesn't seem to come across to North America, to USA or Canada, for some reason.
No, yeah, I mean, the hip-hop music that's made here is really good. It's different, that's for sure. And I just know that, I guess because of the difference of cultures, that it doesn't really transcend to the North American hip-hop scene there. I guess, without offending anyone, I think Australian hip-hop is slightly behind, you know, what people in America or Canada are doing with hip-hop. But by no means am I saying that it's less quality. But I think just in regards to the kind of style that Australians are putting out in their hip-hop music, it's just a little bit different to what, people are doing up in the States. In saying that, though, there is a lot of great artists in Australia that are now, you know, both MCs and also beat makers that are of really world standard at the moment. So, and you see them popping up. Like, for instance, people like M Phases, he's one of my biggest inspirations. He's a beat maker from Melbourne, Australia. I mean, he's like world-class production. So people like that who just represent Australia always peep through.
Yeah, M Phases is definitely amazing, for sure. You've put out quite a few projects, and when you look for you online, Your output is crazy. Like, you have so many releases, you can't even keep track of them all, almost.
Yeah, I know. I was actually looking through my SoundCloud the other day, and I think I've got 103 songs uploaded on SoundCloud, and I've got about 20-odd releases on my Bandcamp, and I was just looking at it, thinking, damn, that's too much.
Well, I was just listening to your 50 Days for Dilla. You have another project that I looked at for September, and it looked like you had a track for like every single day of September. You've got a track for 50 Days for Dilla. So is beat making something you do every day, and sometimes you just tie that in as a beat?
Well, that's the thing. Like, beat making for me has always been a hobby, even when I picked it up. Since I work a 9-to-5, I find it really hard sometimes to find time to make beats. And if I don't set myself a goal, if I don't set myself like a project to do, my interest in actually making beats wanes a little, or my creativity, you know, dulls down a bit. So even with September was just an exercise in beat making to see how many beats I could make in, you know, every day. I only made it for 16 days for September, but I didn't actually get to complete it because I had some things in my personal life to come up. But the 50 days for Dilla thing was really just an exercise in beat making to see, you know, if I could set myself a goal to make it a Dilla inspired beat for every day, for 50 days. And I made it, but it wasn't easy. It was pretty hard and had to really put my work into it every night. But it's just nice to set yourself a goal and trying to keep yourself motivated, especially if you have, you know, other commitments in life. You never want to let your creativity die, because being creative is also relaxing and make life a little bit easier. So yeah, 50 Days to Do was a really fun project. It wasn't easy, but it was fun.
Yeah, so he's definitely a talent, and it's a shame that the hip-hop world has lost him.
Yeah, and I think Jay Dilla's, his memory lives on in so many different genres and so many different musicians around the world. So my 50 Days was just a small aspect of how he actually lives on in other people's music today.
Hey, you've had a chance to work with quite a few different artists. Do you have any favorites or any stories you'd like to share?
Yeah, I've worked with a few MCs. I actually stopped working with a few MCs because I like to concentrate on doing instrumental. I guess the biggest story for me was working with Sly High the Prince, who was actually working on Good Music, which is Kanye West's label. And so when I actually got word that he actually picked a beat off mine for his mixtape, I was pretty geeked and I was really happy that he was going to use it. He actually got in touch with me. He sent me a video that MTV did, which actually showed him in the studio, you know, working on the song we did together, which was pretty buzzy for me, because to see someone from, you know, that group of people tied in with, you know, Good Music and mainstream hip-hop, to hear my music come out the speakers in the studio, and to know that, you know, earlier that day Sly High said that Kanye was actually in listening to the whole mixtape, made me spin out a lot, because it's amazing what the internet can do to your music and where it can go and who can hear it. So yeah, I think that's probably the biggest story I've had with collaborations.
Speaking of the internet's influence there, you should let us all know how we can find out more about Taku and your amazing beats and your projects that you got going.
Yeah, cool. So my main spots are Facebook, SoundCloud, and my Bandcamp. Forgive the cheesy names because you can't change the URLs once you set them, but it's soundcloud.com/TakuGotBeats. Same with my Facebook, facebook.com/TakuGotBeats. My Bandcamp, which you can catch everything on, is taku.me.
All right. Like you said, the URL is kind of weird, but at least you have it shared. One thing that bugs me about artists is when they're all different, you know?
Well, if the URL doesn't really refer to, or does not really relevant to the artist at all, like it's an entirely different word or theme.
So what project are you promoting now? What's the big one out right now people should be checking for?
Well, the actual is 50 Days of Dilla is coming out on Wax, and it should be dropping on HWMW in the next few days. I know a lot of people are waiting to get that on Wax. I'm excited to release that. Apart from that, I'm just working on my first instrumental LP, which is going to be pretty big, on a very interesting label, which I can't disclose yet. But yeah, I can't wait to drop that, but I'm just chipping away slowly.
Yeah, it's really cool to see people still releasing vinyl releases, because I think that's where hip-hop started from. It started with the record, and to see that culture still come alive. And like you said before, you started as a DJ. I know you use sample-based production, so you're still really big in using vinyl, right?
Yeah, I mean, vinyl as a musician, to have your music on vinyl is the ultimate dream, because even audio-wise, audio quality on the vinyl is probably the best you'll ever get, because, you know, the sounds are actually in the groove of the vinyl. But I actually think now that the resurgence of people wanting vinyl is actually coming up a little bit more because it got so rare. But yeah, it's always going to have a special place in people's hearts.
I think it has some staying power a little bit more than some of the other music formats that we have.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, CDs, they're gone. Like CDs are just, in my opinion, CDs are dead. But with vinyl, it's just taking that next step where you're actually having the whole sleeve, the whole artwork, 2LP, you know, it's actually more tangible than a CD. It's something you can actually open up, something that you can actually hold, you know, and collect, and actually looks cool too.
For sure. It says Taku got beats on there, so if there's MCs that really want some of your beats, can they buy some off of you?
Yeah, definitely. So I've got a catalog that normally when MCs hit me up, I send them a catalog. And for those who are serious about collaborating, all they got to do is just let me know which beat they want. And you know, I'm flexible, so I'm always good to help out starting artists or people that are established. Whatever your budget is, I'm sure we'll work something out.
That's very cool, because another one of my pet peeves is all these young upstart artists making quote-unquote mixtapes where they're rapping over someone else's beats, when there's a lot of producers out there like yourself that they could find beats fairly easily enough and do some original stuff.
Well, that's my same pet peeve, man. I actually had a 13-year-old MC from New Zealand hit me up, and he wrote me a huge email saying, you know, this is what he wants to do, this is his vision, and he's, you know, he even said, you know, I'm not sure if you're going to respond, but if you can help me out with a beat, you know, I'm only in school now, but I only have a limited amount of money, but I could work weekends at my dad's grocery store to help you out. And I read the whole email. At the end of it, I just emailed him back. I said, you know what, man? Because you actually took the effort to get in touch with the beatmaker instead of just jacking someone's beat. I'll give you one for free. And he was pretty geeked about that. But just, yeah, you're right, Chase. I mean, if you just get off your ass and actually have a look online and email someone, you don't have to jack beats. You can collaborate with them.
That's such a great story, because I'm a teacher. So the fact that a kid actually reached out to you and that you helped them out is very inspiring, because I think hip-hop is such a great art, and we should be able to expose the kids to it and have them creating.
I mean, hip-hop, you know, is universal. Like, no matter how old you are, how young you are, it speaks to everyone. And you can tell it spoke to this kid because the way he talked about it and the way he talked about how much it means to him. The culture now is where, you know, the producer is kind of becoming what the DJ was back in the day, where the DJ, you know, used to stand behind the MC a lot of the time. But then when turntablism got big, they kind of stepped out in front of the MC. And I think with this beat scene, it's kind of, you know, stressing the importance that whilst you can be a very dope MC, yeah, the fact that he actually at 13 saw that production is very important, and to have a working relationship with the producer is important for an MC. It was pretty impressive to me, seeing he was so young. So I was more than happy to help the kid out. I just think that the beat scene is getting pretty big, and people are starting to listen to more instrumental hip-hop, which is great.
It's not just like beat tapes, you know, for MCs to freestyle over. Like, it's an entire genre unto itself now.
Yeah, definitely. I remember, like, Dorian Concept, who I went to Red Bull with, he often said that he used to make beats for MCs, but then he got sick of working with them, so then he made instrumental music. And to make sure that no one could to rap over them, he'd actually make them so busy that, you know, no one would even attempt it. Because he's a crazy pianist, and he's great on the keyboard, so he would just make this, like, really intricate, amazing beats, which MCs just would have no room to be on. I guess what I'm just trying to say is that producers now are becoming more of artists themselves rather than just a co-producer to a track.
Which is awesome to see, because I notice a lot of other people that I talk to don't think rap is even an art, but there is a musicianship to it there, and I always feel like I have to, like, emphasize that to say, you know what, musicians too.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when you look at the difference between rock music and hip-hop music, people always say there's more intricacy and more technical ability when you make rock music than when it is hip-hop. And whilst in some cases it may be true, people like Shlomo, who are, you know, kind of connecting hip-hop into the more indie folk rock world, they're starting to see that it's not just drums, bass, and a sample. It's actually more, you know, to sample the record is just as technical as knowing how to play guitar. Not everyone can do it.
Producers can totally chop it up and make a sample like completely unrecognizable and replay it and do all sorts of creative things with it, and it blows my mind really what they can do, and I wish more people saw the talent behind it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's really inspiring. When people like Primo Dilla take 5 to 10 seconds of a 5-minute song and recreate an entirely new song, which sounds entirely different, which, you know, flips up the original composition entirely. And I think that's what really amazes me.
Well, you know what? It has been a pleasure talking to you. And thank you for joining us on the radio and on the podcast and spinning for us tonight. It's been an honor, man.
No, thank you so much for having me, Chase. Big respect to Dope FM and Word is Bond. Much love, and all my support goes to them.
Excellent. Thank you.
No worries, man. Peace.